Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Respectfully Disagree. So, be it Otis to Eric or Naina to Sweetu, there's a huge bunch of people in popular culture who we identify as bad friends and who we hate for how bad they are to their friends. But that got the team thinking about this concept of a bad friend itself and what actually makes someone a bad friend. To start off with, let's ask everybody, the reverse of that question, actually, which is what makes somebody a good friend to begin with. This is Shrishti, your host, by the way.
Hi, I'm Shruti. And so I don't really have a laundry list of what makes someone a good friend. But I think two important things for me is whether or not I feel their presence in my life and the sense of belonging that being around them evokes.
Hi, this is Rohita. And I think it's different for different people. But for me, a good friend is a safe space where I can completely let my guard down and be who I want to be.
Hey, it's Carla. I think for me, it's also consistency. There's a certain amount of just people who will allow you to experience whatever ups and downs and be closer or less close, but who are consistently sort of there and able to provide like that non-judgmental support no matter what the situation is.
So what is it about, I mean, before we talk a little bit more about like what we see as a bad friendship, maybe let's talk about like friendship itself. Like, what is a friendship and why do we value it so much?
I mean, if you look at it from an evolutionary perspective, even we essentially needed people to survive, right? We needed a community to survive, and wanting to find people with whom you have the most compatibility and sense of belonging cinched the fact that you could survive hostile environments. That's one fact. And then there's also like a 2008 Mayo Clinic study that talks about how the sense of belonging that you get from friends and also having, you know, like quote unquote good friends can actually improve your health, because it's shown to reduce the amount of stress you experience and also improve self confidence. And I think these are elements that you feel in good friendships. As it is, like, being around a good friend will make you feel good about yourself and not the opposite. And that's one very important marker. And that's why a lot of friendships are super important to people.
I also think friendships are important because they're one of the only kind of relationship that's not institutional. So you have family relationships, you have marriages, and you have a lot of things that are sort of contained within an institution, and you have to, not necessarily have to, but there are to some extent some rules to abide by, and it is something that is regulated to some extent, and there are a lot of components to it, whereas friendships can just be what you want them to be. They're undefined, unstructured, unregulated, they're just whatever. And I think that's really important to have in the kind of society that we live in right now.
Unregulated till some hero thinks about chalo is dosti ko rishtedari mein banate hai. Sorry, I don't know why that made me think of this popular line in a lot of Bollywood movies when like two best friends, two men decide that they want their children to get married. So the line that they use is, let's turn this friendship into a formal relationship. But speaking of that, do you think that popular culture kind of impacts like how you view a good friendship? Like, for me, I know that there are a lot of rituals and there are a lot of things, like, even growing up, like the kind of books that you read, the kind of TV shows that you watch, movies, I think they've affected a lot of the ideas of friendship for me. Like, even the rituals that you follow or what you do on a night out with friends or what friends are supposed to mean to you. I don't know if you think that impacts like our views of friendship or how we treat it in our life.
Oh, 100%. I think the whole, you know, Bollywood trope of like a girl and a guy can never be friends, and that happening in every Shah Rukh Khan movie ever was was super influential when I was an adolescent and for a lot of people, because they were like, okay, cool. I don't think so. It defined your friend circles. You would like only have female friends. You would not really have a lot of guys. And then you'd start thinking about whether you have crushes on them. That was very common for at least a lot of Indian teenagers. But even in adulthood, like a lot of people thought in like in modern movies, and you talk about, especially say with shows like Four More Shots or Sex and the City, every time they're hanging out, they're never hanging out at home. They're always hanging out outside. So, you know, we kind of tend to put that together and be like, oh, you know, so if you really want to be good friends with someone, you got to be out there. You got to have these particular ideas of what bonding means. But that's not necessarily true. But pop culture is super influential on that front, yeah.
So one of the things that pop culture also really tries hard to convince us of is this like myth of the bestie, like this idea that you should have this like one best friend, and this person is almost like some form of a platonic life partner who understands everything about you inside and out, and they fulfill every friendship need you have. And then you sort of realize one day that actually the most meaningful and supportive friendships are the ones where you don't expect this one other person to somehow fulfill every single friendship need you have. And you actually welcome and embrace the idea that different friends can bring out the different sides of you. And actually that like expecting one person to be your be all end all friend is not a very fulfilling or good idea.
There's also social media that plays a role in this, where you see a lot of like memes and reels and just generally conversations about friendships where there's a lot of emphasis, especially best friendships or best friends, there's emphasis on similarity. And there's this whole like twinning thing and like you're kind of soulmates because you're so alike and you're just basically the same person. You're like a clone of each other. And that's just like a really weird, I don't know why, where that even came from, but for me personally, like my longest friend, who's like my childhood best friend for 17 years, we couldn't be more different. We are just not at all similar in many, many, many ways. But, you know, it's one of my most enduring friendships. So I don't know where this idea came from, but yeah.
Okay, so since we've been talking a lot about pop culture, let's just like come down to it and come straight to the question to figure out what makes someone a bad friend, right? So I'm going to describe a few situations and you have to respond to it with whether this person is a bad friend or not, right? Okay, so two best friends fall in love with the same guy and one of them decides to go ahead and date him. Is she a bad friend?
Yes, hard yes.
Yeah, agreed, she is.
I mean, not really. They are consenting adults, but yeah, she's kind of being, if she didn't communicate that, then she's kind of being a shit friend. Yeah.
All right. This one friend, whenever her friend is trying to bring up some issue about herself, she does give her a solution to the problem, but also inserts herself into the narrative by saying that, oh, you know, something similar happened to me, and goes on about that for a while. Is she a bad friend?
Gigantic eye roll, terrible.
No, I don't think so. It depends on how often and how much, but otherwise, I guess that's how some people communicate and can relate to one another. So.
Yeah, same. I'm with Rohita on this. It might just be a way of the friend actually understanding the situation by relating it to them. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad friend.
Okay, a big one. If a friend keeps putting off hanging out with other friends for work, like for office work, is that person a bad friend?
No, I don't think so. I think the other friend should be concerned about this one person. So if they are not reaching out to this one person, they are the bad friends. So, yeah.
No, I agree that I would be concerned if it was my friend who's prioritizing work all the time. But then I would also be super, like, a little miffed that I'm not a priority in any way whatsoever. So it would be a bit of a conflict. So I don't really think it's a bad friend, but not necessarily being a very present friend.
So not only is that not a bad friend, the one who's working a lot, but I also think it's being a bad friend of that person's friends if they make the person feel guilty about it. So I think that's the thing, is part of being like a consistent long-term good friend to somebody is also accepting the fact that they have shifting and varying priorities through different stages of their lives. And if they want to prioritize something else for a while over their friendships, that is perfectly reasonable and okay. And to make space for that is actually being a good friend to them.
Okay, all right. So I think from this exercise, what we've kind of figured out is that everybody has really different definitions of what makes someone a bad friend, right? Like, it's very subjective depending on your own experiences and perspectives. So universally, what are the qualities that actually qualify as someone being a bad friend? Is there such a thing as someone being a universally bad friend?
So to me, it seems like at the most basic level, some sort of a betrayal of trust is the ultimate sort of violation of that safe space of friendship that Rohitha was talking about as being like the whole purpose of friendship to begin with. So I think violations of trust and betrayals are probably like the most obvious possible way somebody can be a bad friend.
Yeah, actually, even the author Jan Yeager, I hope that's how their name is pronounced, in the book When Friendship Hurts, says that betrayal is the key component that differentiates someone being a bad friend to sort of being somewhat of a toxic friend, and betrayal being the make or break thing that friendships completely end on. Whereas in other areas, people can just part ways and still think of each other well once in a while, and it doesn't have to be a dramatic end to friendships, but betrayal and trust is essentially that component that makes or breaks relationships between friends.
But how do you know when a friendship becomes emotionally abusive or when a friend becomes a bad friend to you, right? Like, I think that's a very difficult thing to come to realize, because I think unlike in maybe romantic relationships, I mean, even in romantic relationships, it's difficult to realize, but I feel like there are more conversations around it. There are more templates of it. There are more red flags. We don't talk about like what is a red flag in a friendship, right? Or how do you identify, when do you know that, okay, it's time to cut off this friend now? Like, have any of you had any experience where you felt like, okay, I've actually evolved and like now I know that this is the right time to cut off a bad friend? Or where you've thought, oh my God, I let this person take advantage of me for too long, or this person was a bad friend for too long, I should have cut this off much earlier?
Yeah, a combination of both happened. I broke up with someone I've known for over 10 years, and it was a combination of learning that I was never really like, you know, like just a side character who filled this one role that made their life look good for a very, very long time. And the thing that sort of ended it is when like some solid, massive, life-changing health emergency happened and they were not in the room, you know. So that was just a realization, but I don't think it's as dramatic usually as something terrible happening and then you realizing this person was never a friend all along. But I think it's the tiny, 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 tiny things just add up. And then you just sort of have these moments in life where you learn that this friendship, you've just been a prop in a lot of ways in this friendship, and you just want to walk away. But I also feel like this is a good example to sort of talk about even intention. Like, it may not have been that friend's intention to treat someone that way, and that may not have been like what they had in their head, but you, like, for me, I walked away because I realized this is not who I want to be in this friendship. So it has happened to me.
I'm going to defend the narcissist for a moment, because I think that one of the things about also long-term, consistent, and like healthy, nice friendships is this thing that like you're allowed to have like ebb and flow in your life, and you're allowed to have times when you are the more needy one and you require more of your friends. And then there are times when you're in a great place and they need more of you. And so it's okay for that dynamic to constantly be shifting, as long as it does shift and you get to kind of like play both roles. But I don't actually have any issue with having friends who perhaps are going through a hard time. And for maybe a year or two of our friendship, they require much more of me and they're far more self-obsessed and they just need to talk about themselves all the time. I'm fine with it. As long as we have a track record, again, of like supporting each other, I'm okay. I'm perfectly okay with like the narcissistic friend for a finite amount of time.
Yeah, actually, Carla, I totally agree with that. And I think that especially when people are in like a difficult position with their mental health and it's hard to see things clearly sometimes with different things, it's even more important to, I think, maybe be considerate of that. And sometimes that they do need you to like vent and talk to, and they will do that. And I totally think that, in fact, being there for them then and understanding where they come from could potentially be really important. I also think that in like friendships, I think one of the most beautiful things for me is with those friends when you're able to, when you all know when it's like one of your friends' moment to be the main character, you know, like it's a friend's graduation and you're attending it. And so like you're doing everything and you're like, okay, okay, it's their moment. Let's all get together and like take photos and whatever. Clearly, I'm referring to a very specific incident here. But I think like with all of these moments, when you realize that it's like your friend's time to be the main character and you're there as a side character for them, I think that's also a really beautiful aspect of friendship, which allows you to switch in those roles, you know?
I actually think the best friends are the ones who know when to be a side character, when to purposely make themselves a side character.
Yeah, it's that fluidity that makes it really wonderful and fulfilling. It's only when it gets cemented in a particular direction and dynamic and doesn't change is when it starts becoming a problem, where one person cannot expect the other person to treat, to make themselves a side character during the important moments or whatever. Like, yeah.
Just the one thought that I had on this front is, so much of what a friendship should be at different points in life, at least in adulthood, is in a lot of ways dictated by like societal norms and societal situations, right? Like when we are children, we don't think so much about whether, you know, this person will be a good friend or a good fit for us in some way or the other. We just want to be friends and we just want to play. In fact, like, the societal norm thing is the defining factor, according to a research that was conducted in Tel Aviv. It essentially said that whether or not a bad friend is determined in a lot of ways by what society expects out of you. So in adulthood, you have these expectations that this friend will constantly be self-sacrificing thanks to all the depictions in pop culture. And when that does not happen, because we are all human beings, it sort of falls short. One thing that I heard over the pandemic is someone saying that, like, someone who never checked on me during this entire 2 years of a pandemic was never really a friend in the first place. And I can't disagree more, because it's a pandemic. People are trying to get through it every day. And like, if you use that as a measure of friendship, then I'm not sure if the measure is correct.
Absolutely. And I think the pandemic was also that exceptional circumstance where I feel like a lot of people also changed how they viewed like norms of like texting and checking in and all of that. Because I think even in ourselves, for a lot of times, like, I am usually a more present person, but like even in the pandemic, I found myself withdrawing and being able to relate to a lot of people who, you know, earlier was a bit of an adjustment to understand, but like now you understand better why people like feel the need to like be absent or not, are not able to be there a lot of times. But that brings me to an important question, right, about what makes someone a bad friend, which is that, when do you know when a friendship is one-sided, right? Like, a lot of times someone's being a bad friend to you because probably they don't see you as a friend at all, or they don't think of you as a friend in the same way that you think of them as a friend. So how do you know if friendship is one-sided? And in that case, like, if someone doesn't consider you to be their friend, do they owe you their affection and love when they can see, though, that they are getting a lot of that from you?
Wait, you just asked like 7 questions and they were all so fascinating. What was the first one?
How do you differentiate between a bad friendship and a one-sided? Like someone being a bad friend and someone just not being your friend, you got the memo wrong.
I think one-sided is like it slowly dies out. It's just like a lack of interest and then it slowly dies out. But I think a bad friend is somebody who stays engaged but makes you feel not good in the relationship.
Srishti, we are like, if we look at a research from a research point of view, like human beings are not necessarily very good at knowing whether a friend is good for you. Like, there was one study that was conducted in 2018 by the Massachusetts, by MIT essentially, in 2016. And it says that we are actually bad judges of friendships because it takes a lot of time and life experience to tell whether a friend is being a bad influence on your life or not. And it also talked about this one-sidedness of things. It actually takes a long time for a lot of people to recognize that what they are calling an equitable friendship has actually been one-sided for a very long time. And that makes sense because you need to develop certain life skills and skill sets with your own self before you can judge what your circle looks like to you.
So I also realized that there's, because I've also had my own guilt about times in my life when I feel like, have I been a bad friend? And not necessarily like I don't think, hopefully, I've ever been like a toxic friend, but I think I have been like a not as present friend. And so I've also accepted that there are times when people can be being a bad friend, but that doesn't mean that they are a bad friend, if you know what I mean with that distinction, that like, there may be times when people are not equipped to be the best possible friend they can be, but that doesn't mean that they are a bad friend to you overall. And like also accepting that is part of the lowering your expectations, you know, kind of approach, which is that it's okay. Like not everybody can be their best friend self to you at all moments. And that doesn't mean that they go in the bad friend category.
You know, in the ADHD community, when people talk about expectations, it's like one of the most important things you communicate. And it's super important that like a lot of neurodivergent friendships that feel comforting to each other in support groups because everyone understands sort of what you're going through is fundamentally based on the rule that you would not have caregiving expectations out of each other. And it's very beautiful when you measure things on the basis of that, when you don't think that, you know, maybe they're not being a bad friend to you because they are terrible people or don't want to be good friends to you. Maybe they're just being bad friends to you in that moment because they don't know how else to be. Like for an example that, you know, I could just even throw it out to all of you, like, say someone doesn't want to have kids, okay, and you, like, super strongly believe that, like, anti-natal and all of that. And then you have a very close friend who talks about wanting to be a mother or a parent in some way, and you don't support them, but you always like sort of like, you know, your personality goes on and start frowning at that idea. Like in those situations, do you think they're being a shitty friend or do you feel that like they just believe in something so strongly that they have a very difficult time trying to overcome that belief to like just be human in a moment, you know?
I think they would be being a bad friend. Because what you believe is one thing, but you know, if you have a close friend who is doing something which goes against your beliefs, but it's not necessarily a moral belief, like your friend isn't like doing something criminal or wrong, they're doing something that goes against your, I don't know, political or social views, it's not fair to impose that on the other person and just like not be there completely. I think there has to be that separation where you're basically there to support this other person and be there for them no matter what. I'm not saying unconditional again, but yeah, like I think that's a bad friend if they like go around shitting on this other person for doing something that they don't believe in.
Okay, let me ask you this one, because I found this is probably my biggest bad friend, like my personal experience with a bad friend, because I don't stick around toxic people for long, so I don't really have those stories. But I have one friend who, if you asked her, she would be utterly convinced that she was the most wonderful, most giving, most over-the-top devoted friend to me. But all of the gestures of friendship and affection were through her lens of like, what is being a good friend? And she never stopped to listen to me giving feedback about like, I don't want this, or I don't like this, or I don't want this to happen. And so she would do these like over-the-top overtures of friendship, but they were all things that fit her worldview of what a good friend does. And they were things that I specifically did not want. So is she a good friend? Because she definitely checked all the boxes of like, this is what good friends do.
No, I think that's like the classic case of the bad friend undercover. And I think that's a big archetype, right? Like of the good friend, like who behaves like a 1960s American White housewife. Like they do, I mean, I'm thinking of Betty Draper from Mad Men. Like they do everything as per, like they're giving, they throw you parties, they like, in their head, they do everything that they should to be a good friend, but it's so that they can get that like cookie or that brownie for being a good friend without actually seeing. So again, like I think they have a classic case of, to go back to main character syndrome, because they're actually even evaluating their friendship with you as what will make them a good person if they behave with you a certain way. So I think that's a classic case of someone being a bad friend, especially if they give you feedback. I mean, if you tell them that like, hey, you know, like you don't have to do this, or like, I don't like this, and they still do it, like they impose that on you. I cannot deal with that.
I agree with that partially, but I also feel like intention matters. And I'm probably saying this to defend myself, because I found myself in a situation like that recently where I got called out for for being there for someone in a way that they specifically asked me not to do. But I kept doing this. Like, you know, they would reach out to me for help, and then I would give certain kinds of advice and just be there in a way that they specifically asked me not to. I don't know why I had that blind spot, but it was there, and I obviously didn't listen, and I got called out for it. And I think that did make me a bad friend in the moment. But then I'm also introspecting. So it goes back to your earlier point about maybe I'm not like a bad friend overall. I was a bad friend for a period of time, if that makes sense.
This might be something that is super cheesy and already everywhere on the internet and been saturated to death. But one of the things that Gary Chapman, who wrote the book on the love languages, talks about is people for a long time talked about the five love languages being something that they can use to their advantage to have a better relationship with their partners or friends or family or whatever. But the whole point of learning what those love languages is to learn what the other person's love language is, so that you can make an effort to communicate to them in the language in which they receive love, you know. And that's the reason the whole research, and he went into this whole, you know, rabbit hole of research about how do you sustain love from a psychological point of view.
Absolutely. And like on that note, do you think that someone who's a bad friend to you can be a good friend to someone else?
100%. Yes. Totally can be a good friend to someone else. I think therein lies the question of expectations in friendships. If you have different expectations in this relationship, and it's expectations and timing, I feel, that are super, super crucial in this area. So if you have certain expectations, like, you know, that they need, say, you feel that they need to be there when you're sick, or whether if you have caregiving expectations and caretaking expectations, and your friend is unable to provide that for you because they just don't want to or they can't. But someone else doesn't have that expectation and they have this personality match and the timing is right. They can totally be great friends with them. But you can walk away from that friendship thinking, this person was terrible. They didn't want to take care of me when I was super, super sick. But that's not what happened in their heads. So that's totally possible.
You know, you just reminded me that actually... my strategy for having like really wonderful, happy friendships and like loving and enjoying all my friends all the time is to have zero expectations of anybody. Just zero. And therefore, when things go well, you're like delighted and you're just like overjoyed at how wonderful all of your friends are. And then you never have to have that tussle, right? And I think that tussle of like, mismatched expectations is one of the most complicated human dynamics, whether it's in romantic relationships or in platonic relationships. That navigation of like what I wanted from you and now I'm disappointed I didn't get is a really difficult space to navigate. So I think with friendships, if we ease up off of that, we actually find, I think many people step up when you least expect them to, and they pleasantly surprise you.
Like my learning over time has been that I space things out. So I have a few close friends and I make sure that I don't end up burdening any one of them with like all of the, you know, emotional labor, all unburdening on only one person completely, but that I space it out. And I think friends do the same. So that learning, to go back to our conversation about like, there's that one bestie who's going to be with you through life. I think it's a good learning to know that you can have a few close friends and you should rely on them. It's healthier to rely on them like at different points in time.
I think it's a combination of things. It's at the end of the day about what kind of expectations you hold from each other. One, two, I think it's about the time that that person is in your life. In a different time, maybe these expectations wouldn't be there and you just realize that you held on to a silly bunch of things. And then the third thing, I think how you recover from it, if you want to recover from it, is just communication, and actually like holding your behavior accountable and working on it if the friendship is important to you.
Okay, so on that note, I think on the note of communication, we'll leave this podcast with that and leave you to connect with the friends who you love, who you maybe went through a bad phase with, and hopefully identify and do away with the truly bad. I don't know why I'm saying this. You can ignore this at the end. It's just a filler in any way.